Well, it's good to see a lot of people who are a lot younger than me. Praise the Lord. Well, brothers and sisters, in this first session, these first two sessions, we want to cover the first outline. And it's on the threefold seed in humanity. Christ is the threefold seed in humanity. The good news of the revelation of the entire Bible.
Amen.
So this is a great, great, great thing. Before we get into the outline, though, I have a real burden. Of course, you can see Roman numeral 1. It says Christ as the triune God, man is the threefold seed in humanity. And of course, what this means is he is a threefold dispensing into man. He's a threefold seed. And just to let you know, when we use the word seed, we mean son or descendant. Son. So he's a threefold seed in humanity. And it says the seed of the woman, which means the son of the woman in Genesis 3. And then he's the seed of Abraham. He's the son, or he's the descendant of Abraham. And he is also the seed of David, the son, or the descendant of David. And we will see in A, B, and C, I'll read these a little bit later, that this threefold seed has been dispensed into us.
Amen.
This is absolutely marvelous. There is a seed in us.
Amen.
Threefold seed, the seed of the woman. As the seed of the woman, he destroyed all of God's enemies.
Amen.
He destroyed Satan the devil.
Amen.
And so you have a devil-destroying seed in your spirit.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? Absolutely wonderful. And then he is the seed of Abraham. And as the seed of Abraham, he brought in the blessing to all the nations. If you read Galatians 3:14, you can see that as the seed of Abraham, as the real Isaac, he became the life-giving, sevenfold, intensified spirit. And now he is in our spirit. And he is our unique blessing. He is our unique blessing. You are blessed this morning. We have the blessing in our spirit. You know, in Ephesians 1:3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every other spiritual blessing, right? What does it say? With every spiritual blessing. And every spiritual blessing is actually, in totality, the Spirit. So, as the seed of Abraham, he brings in the blessing to all the nations. And as the seed of David, as the real Solomon, he brings us into the kingdom. He brings us into the kingship. There is a king in our spirit. There is a king seed in our spirit. And so this seed of the kingdom in our spirit, we need to allow this seed to grow in us. He is the King of Kings. He's in our spirit as a seed, as a seed. So, brothers and sisters, in this opening word, I just have the burden to talk about how this seed has been sown into us and how we can cooperate with the Lord to allow this seed to grow in us. This seed has to grow in us. We have this seed in our spirit. According to 1 John 3:9, when we were born again, the seed of God came into us. We have God's seed in us. If you look at 1 Peter 1:23, this verse says that when we were regenerated by the living and abiding Word of God, which is an incorruptible seed.
Amen.
Seed. And then if you look at Luke 8:11, it says that when Christ was sown into us, and we're talking about this threefold seed in humanity, he was sown into us as the Word, and the Word is the seed. Is the seed, you see? So you have all these verses about the seed in us. Now, how can we cooperate with the growth of this seed? Well, actually, I wrote down 15 points about how we can cooperate with the growth of this seed. Of course, there's probably 100 points, you know, there's endless, but I have a burden to share 15 points with you as an opening word. It's wonderful, it's wonderful. Every point is wonderful. Okay, now the first thing is this. When we talk about the growth of Christ within us, we are referring, I would say, directly to Colossians 2:19, which says, this is the first point. And this verse says, holding the head. We need to be those who hold Him as the head. Then it says, out from Him as the head, out from whom all the body, being richly supplied and knit together by the joints and sinews of the body, grows with the growth of God. You see, so what this verse tells us is we want to grow. We want to grow in life. We want this seed to grow in us. How? What does it mean for this seed to grow in us? It means God is growing in us. We want God to grow in us. God does not need to grow in Himself, but He needs to grow in you. Everyone in this room, right? Me, all of us. We need God to grow in us. I think we all can testify that, and I would like to say this, whenever we have a problem, no matter what kind of problem it is, the basic problem is that we're short of God. We're short of God. Why did this happen? Why did I have this failure? Why did I do this? Why am I anxious? Why this? Why that? It's because we're short of God. You know, you could put, it's like when you put the dipstick in the, you have a car and you have oil. You know, and I'm not a mechanic, but I do know you have to put oil in a car. I do know that, you know. But if you're, sometimes, you know, if the car is smoking, you know pretty sure you're short of oil. You look at the dipstick and, you know, it's down to 1/50th, right? Hardly any oil in there. Well, lots of times we're smoking, right? We're just, they're so upset about this. What about this? What about that? Even this weekend, you went, what about this test? What about that test? How am I going to make it with so many people in my room? And how am I going to get to the bathroom? And, you know, well, the basic problem is how many gallons of God do we have in us? You know, how much of God do we have in us? We need more of God. And brothers and sisters, for God to grow in us, it says we need to hold Him as the head. Now, to hold Him as the head, it means two things. It means, firstly, we should give Him the first place in all things. The first place. He should have the preeminence in all things. He is our head. He is our Lord. He is our King. He is our Master. We give Him the first place in all things. To give Him the first place in all things practically means that we consult with Him in everything. We check with Him in everything. We talk to Him about everything, every detail of our life. We just talk to Him. We like to come under His headship. We like to come under His lordship. We like to come under His kingship in every area of our life. That's number one. Number two, to hold Him as the head means that we stay intimately connected to Him. We need to have it's related to what I just said. We need to have an intimate relationship with the Lord where we talk to the Lord. We enjoy Him. We just are intimate with Him. We have human intimate conversations with Him. And when we do this, the seed grows within us. Okay, so that's the first point. Now the second point is this. And I'm very burdened about this, the second point. The second point is this. Saints, we need to be in the light. In the light. In the light. A seed can't grow unless it has light. Now, in Colossians 1:12, Paul says this. He says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you for a share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light. In the light. So Christ is our portion in the light. If we are going to enjoy Christ, we have to be in the light. My prayer for this meeting this morning is that this meeting would be full of light. No darkness at all. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. So we want all of our meetings to be in God, no darkness at all. Every bit of darkness in our being needs to be dispelled. Otherwise, we can't enjoy Christ. We can't. And brothers and sisters, I'll just make this statement. The central thought of God is for us to enjoy Christ. For us to enjoy Christ. This weekend, what God wants us to do is to enjoy Him. To enjoy, of course, Christ is God. to enjoy Christ. But if we're going to enjoy Christ, we have to be filled with light, and we have to be open to the light. You know, brothers and sisters, many times we are closed to the light. We might open part of our being to the light, you know, a great definition of light is that light is the presence of God. Or light, you could say light is the presence of Christ. Christ is God. So light is the presence of Christ, the actual person of Christ. When we have Christ's smile, that's the light. And so we want to be in the light. But many times we don't open fully to the light. And so my burden is this weekend, in order to get all these points, we have to open ourselves to the Lord. You know, even I don't know if you can, you know, you take a walk with the Lord out here sometime. You just take a walk with the Lord. You say, Lord, I like to open my whole being up to you without reservation. Don't close any part of your being to Him. Don't close any area of your life to Him. You see, open yourself to the Lord. Turn your heart to the Lord. That it's not a small thing. Don't think that's a small thing to say, Lord, I turn my heart to you. Keep my heart turned to you, Lord. Whenever the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away, according to 2 Corinthians 3:16. And we are beholding Him with an unveiled face. Actually, our face is our heart. Our real face is our heart. And we're beholding Him in our spirit with an unveiled face, like a mirror. The glory of the Lord, and we're beholding and reflecting the glory of the Lord like a mirror, and we're being transformed. We cannot be in the process of being transformed unless our heart is fully turned to the Lord. You see, in this meeting, where is our heart? Where is our heart? Our heart should be fully turned to the Lord. Fully turned to the Lord. And saints, to get the light, we need to spread everything before Him without reservation. We need to have talks with Him where we talk to Him about every area of our life, everything in our life, and we spread all things before Him without reservation. Sometimes we hide certain areas of our life. Now listen to this. It's because we're afraid, oh, if I open this up to the Lord and He touches this, He's going to touch this and everything's going to get messed up that I plan to do. You know, I plan to do this, I have a plan to do that, and I'm afraid if I open this up to the Lord, if I consecrate this to the Lord, He's going to touch this and He's going to say, aha, you know, I don't want you to take that direction, I want you to take this direction. Well, don't be like that. If you do that, that means there's going to be a dark part in your heart. A dark part. And we want to be full of light. We want our hearts to be full of light, not having any dark part. At the end of Luke 11, it talks about this, that when our heart is single, it doesn't have any dark part, but we're full of light. Don't hide yourself from the Lord. I could give a lot of examples about this. Well, let me give just a human example, and I did this past Wednesday. You know, lots of times we're like, in the ministry meeting in Anaheim Wednesday, this past Wednesday I shared this. Lots of times we're like children. You know, if children do something wrong, they don't want to. When the parents are there, if I walk in the door, my boys are all older now, but when I walked in the door and they were doing something wrong, they didn't even have to tell me they were doing something wrong. You know, sometimes I remember one time I walked in the door and they were running in the living room and they just stopped right in the living room like this. I said, what's wrong? Nothing. I don't know what they were doing, but they were doing something that they shouldn't have been doing. You know, I didn't check that time. You know, anyway, I just asked them. And one time, one of our children, our third boy, has Down syndrome, and he's very, very dear. But you know, all children are naughty, right? And one time we couldn't find him. And we were really like, where's Joey? We knew he was in the house somewhere, but we couldn't find him. So we're searching the house like the FBI, you know, going through the whole house. Finally, we went in a bathroom. We saw the shower curtain was pulled closed, and there was a little shadow in there. You know what I mean? So we We opened up the shower curtain, and he had all these cupcakes in there that Ruth had cooked. He had all these cupcakes, and he had eaten all the tops off of them. He ate all the tops off of them, you know. Listen, that's what we're like with the Lord sometimes. We have the shower curtain closed, right? We're eating the cupcakes, right? And we don't, Lord, you know, I want to eat my cupcakes. You know, seriously, I want to have this area of my life. And I don't want you to touch this. Anyway, I don't want to get concrete, a lot of concrete examples, you know. We all of us go through this, right? Where we come to crossroads in our life where we have to make a decision. Maybe we're graduating from college and the Lord is saying, go to the full-time training. Go to the full-time training. And the Lord says, go. And we say, no. He says, go. We say, no. Go. No. Go. No. Pretty soon you're saying, okay, go. I'll go. I'll go, Lord. I give up. I give up. Then when you do that, you get flooded with light. Flooded with light. There are just so many examples of this. You know, I use this example too. You know, many times, I have these two sheets of paper here. Many times, here's how our heart is with the Lord. Our heart is like a piece of paper. You know, we should be a letter of Christ that Christ can write on, right? Our heart should be soft, according to 2 Corinthians 3:3. And we should be a letter of Christ so Christ can write on us with the Spirit of the living God as the ink. But here's how our heart is. Our heart is like this. It's like this. And how's he going to write on a heart like that? That's closed to him. That's not open to him, you see. You see, why is it that some people get light? They're so full of joy. They're so happy in the Lord. Or you realize that, why don't I have that kind of joy? Why am I? Well, our heart can be closed to the Lord, just like this. But if we would open to the Lord, you see, you just open to the Lord. You say, Lord, I open to you. I open to you as wide as I can. See, that's better. Right? Then you open a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, and then eventually your heart is... This is the Holiday Inn. I got to get the other side here. All right. Your heart is fully open to the Lord. Now, that doesn't look good. You know, it's still wrinkled, right? But when you get the washing of the water and the Word, it's right like this, right? So your heart's open to the Lord, right? Then you can get the washing of the water. Word takes away all your oldness, all your wrinkles. Saints, open your heart to the Lord. Open your heart to the Lord. Okay, now, the third thing is this. Saints, we need to take care of our spirit. Take care of your spirit. Your spirit. Every morning, okay, and I'm just emphasizing our human spirit right now, our human spirit that's indwelt by the divine spirit. When you wake up in the morning, this should be your first thought. Take care, when you wake up in the morning, don't you brush, everybody brushes their teeth in this room. I hope so. Right? You would not walk out the door without brushing your teeth. When you're like 4 years old, you might do that, right? And then your parents have to brush your teeth, brush your teeth. But we don't have to be told to brush our teeth, right? So listen, the first thought you should have before I go out the door, I need to brush my spirit. You know, quote, quote. I need to take care of my spirit. Now, the verse that I want to emphasize with this is Matthew 5:3. And Matthew 5:3 says, blessed are the poor. Blessed means happy. Happy. This is real happiness here. This is the happiness that is Christ Himself. Happy is he, or blessed is he, who is poor in spirit. Blessed are they who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. Now, what this means to be poor in spirit, it doesn't mean we have a poor spirit. We need to have a strong spirit, an excellent spirit, an exercised spirit. But to be poor in spirit, it means that we are unloaded. We're unloaded in the depths of our being, and we can receive something new and fresh from the Lord. Now, I want to ask you, don't you want to receive the Lord's fresh dispensing this weekend? That's what we came here for, to receive His fresh dispensing, to receive His fresh and new presence, to to receive His fresh and new speaking. It's not like, saints, if there's anything in our being that says, oh yeah, I know that, oh yeah, I've heard that before, then we are in trouble. We are in trouble. Because we're talking about the things of life here, and the things of life you never graduate from. I don't graduate from these points. Every day, we have to take care of these points. Be poor in spirit. In Isaiah 66, verse 2, this verse says, the Lord says through Isaiah, He said, to this kind of person will I look, to him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. So we need to pray, Lord, make me this kind of person who's poor in spirit, who has a contrite spirit, who has a lowly spirit, and make me a person who trembles at your word. What does it mean to tremble at the Lord's word? It means we take the Lord's word seriously. We take His word seriously. When we pray over the word, when we talk to the Lord in the word, we like to join ourselves to God's desire through the word. You see, we join ourselves to His desire, and we want His word to be our constitution. Our constitution. And this all starts with our being poor in spirit. So that is the third point. Now, the fourth point is, take care of your heart. Take care of your heart. If we don't take care of our heart, we already talked about this. We won't get any light. Now, the verse I have for this is Matthew 5:8, where it says, blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. See God. Don't you want to see God this morning? I came here to see God. You didn't come here to see me. Listen, if you came here to see me, you're going to be disappointed, right? Listen, have you ever been disappointed when you saw God?
No.
He never disappoints us, right? So we are here to see God.
Amen.
And to see God, we have to be pure in heart. What does it mean to be pure in heart? It means that God is our only goal. Our only goal. Our only goal in this meeting is to gain God. Is to pursue Christ. Is to gain Christ. Is to lay hold of Christ. That is our goal. It's just God Himself. Christ Himself. When this is our goal, you see, in this meeting, what is your goal? What is your goal in this meeting? Your goal should be Christ Himself. I want Christ. Why do we get disappointed? We get disappointed because we want something other than Christ. Or we expect something other than Christ. But when we just want Christ, when we just expect Christ, then we see God. We see God. Okay. That's the fourth point, right? Okay, now the fifth point. Saints, every day, we should pray this prayer in Ephesians 1:17. Father, grant me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of Christ. We should pray this every day. We need a spirit of wisdom and revelation to see Christ every day. And even this prayer goes from verse 17, it goes all the way to verse 23. And in this prayer, you see that Christ is our resurrecting power, He's our ascending power, He's our subjecting power, and He's our heading up power. And this surpassing great power is toward us who believe and to the church. So He is being transmitted into us as heading up power, ascending power, subjecting power, right? I missed one. Oh, and resurrecting power. He is being transmitted into us as this fourfold power. But we need a spirit of wisdom and revelation every day to see Him in a new way. So pray this every day. Pray this prayer every day. Now the sixth point is Ephesians 3. We should pray this prayer every day too. These are short prayers. You know, you don't have to necessarily pray in a longer way. That's marvelous. The more time we spend with the Lord, the better. But you can pray. Can't you just pray this simple prayer? Father, strengthen me with power through your spirit into the inner man, so that Christ can make His home in my heart. We should pray this every day. Every day. One brother, one brother, actually he's here on the East Coast. I won't tell you who he is. Maybe I will tell you who he is. Let me think about it. But anyway, it's positive, very positive. He was in the full-time training. And he came to me one time and he just had all these problems. He said, "Brother Ed, what should I do? What should I do about this? What should I do about that? What should I do about this?" And I said, "Okay, brother, here's my prescription for you." But this is my prescription, you know. I said, "I want you to pray Ephesians 3, 16 through 19 every day for 30 days. You just pray that prayer every day for 30 days. And he did that. He did that. And after 30 days, he said, "Brother Ed, you're right. All my problems are solved. All my problems are solved." You see, don't you need to be strengthened? Listen, we are in ourselves so much. We need to be strengthened with power. You know, that word power is dunamis. That's where we get the word dynamite. So we need to be strengthened with dynamite. We need to be dynamited out of our stinking self into the inner man. We need divine dynamite to blast us out of the self and out of the flesh into our inner man. Amen. Then our whole being is in the inner man, and then what happens is Christ has a way to make his home in our heart, which is our mind, our will, our emotion, and our conscience. We want him to make his home in all of these. You see, we can linger on this prayer too. These are great things. We could say, "Lord, make your home in my mind, Lord. Forgive me my thought life, Lord. I want your thoughts to be my thoughts. Make your home in my emotions. I want your feelings to be my feelings. Make your home in my will. I want your intents to be my intents. And make your home in my conscience, Lord. Enlighten my conscience. If there's anything that I need to repent and confess, I like to confess it, Lord. Just shine on me. I like to have a clear sky. Nothing between you and me. Make your home in my heart, Lord." See, pray this every day. Okay, now, the seventh point. These are all big points for Christ to grow in us. Big, big points. Let's see, this meeting goes till 9 to 10:30? Yeah, 9 to 10:30. Okay. Okay, we've got my watch here. All right, now, I heard this brother say, he said, "You know what it means when a speaker puts his watch on the podium?" And he said, "Absolutely nothing." Dear brother said this. Anyway, but it does mean something. It means something to me. Okay. Now, all right, now. Okay. Let's come back. It's number seven. Brothers and sisters, if we are going to allow Christ to grow in us, we need to forgive one another. Forgive one another. And I've got a number of verses here. You got Matthew 6:15. It says, "If you don't forgive men their offenses, neither will your Father forgive you." That's very serious. That means if you're offended and you don't forgive that person from your heart, your Father will not forgive you, and there will be a blockage in your heart, and light will not be able to shine in your heart. You see, sometimes even in our fellowship with the Lord, the Lord may shine on us and say, "You know, Ed, you need to forgive that person. You didn't realize that you were offended at what this sister did to you, what this brother did to you, what this person did to you years ago. You need to forgive that person." You need to, listen, I always say we don't have a forgiving bone in our body, but we have a forgiving life in our spirit.
Amen.
You know, and so we need to take Christ as our forgiving life. Anyway, Matthew 18:35, this verse shows that the reward of the kingdom depends on our forgiving one another. It's a big, big thing. Unforgiven offenses are a terrible thing in the church life. This is why in Matthew 18, when the Lord mentioned the local church for the first time, He talked about forgiving one another. Peter said, "Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? Up to seven times? Up to seven times?" And I always feel like Peter was offended with somebody. You know what I mean? And you know, It's up to seven times. In other words, if he offends me one more time, I'm gonna get him. This is the eighth time you've done this. You know, now. But the Lord didn't say that. He said, Peter, it's 70 times 7. 7,490. That means you lose count. That means you lose count of how many times you forgive. We have a forgiving spirit. Colossians 3:12 through 35 says that we need to allow the peace of Christ to arbitrate in our hearts. We need to forgive one another, brothers and sisters. And Luke 6:37, when it talks about forgiveness, it says, okay, how can I do this? Your name's Jeremy, right? Jeremy, can you help me, brother? Thank you. Okay, let's say that Jeremy offended me. But he didn't offend me. Jeremy's a lovely brother. I don't know him that well, but I can tell he's a lovely brother. All right, now, but let's say, you know, when you're in the church life, there's friction, right? Everyone in this room has been offended at least one time, right? That's why the Lord tells us to forgive one another, because He knows that. He knows that we're not fully transformed. Okay, let's say Jeremy, you know, I get offended with him, but he doesn't know it. Well, in Luke 6:37, it says, release, and you will be released. In other words, to forgive is to release the person. Why am I not released? You know, we want to be released. You say, oh, that sister is so released. That brother is so released. Well, why are they released? Because they have nothing between them and the Lord, and nothing between them and the brothers and sisters. You see, so when I forgive, if I'm like this with Jeremy, I'm bound. You see, I'm bound. I'm bound by this unforgiven offense. But if I release him, I say, Lord Jesus, I take you as my life and person to release my dear brother. I forgive him from my heart. Then, oh, I'm released. I'm released. You see? Thank you. Thank you, Jeremy. So forgive one another, brothers. Don't think this is a great, great thing. Maybe some of you now, you have some unforgiven offenses. You might have a black book in the back of your cerebrum. And you see someone and you said, I don't know if it's your cerebrum, whatever, you know. Anyway, you know, you guys are a lot smarter than me. What part of the brain that is, I don't know. Okay, but you have a black book back there. Oh, and you see the person, oh, you offended me in 1982, right? You have it written down back here, right? Well, forgive that. Be released, you see? Release and you will be released. Okay, now number nine. Eight is a big point. Thank you. Thank you, Matt. Yeah, help me, Matt, if I jump over a point. Okay, eight. Saints, we shouldn't not only forgive, not only should we forgive, we should give. Give. You know, the next verse, Luke 6:38, it says we need to give of our material possessions. There is there's a book for new believers. There's a series, Messages of New Believers, that Watchman Nee gave. And he has a chapter called Managing Your Finances. Now, you know, you might want to say, oh, managing my finances, that's exactly what I need, you know. My goodness, my Visa card is just like, you know, filled up. I'm gonna look and see what, don't allow that to happen. Okay. I'm gonna look and see what Watchman Nee says about managing your finances. Well, I can sum up what he says in one word, and that is give. Give. That is how to manage your finances, is to give. Give of your material possessions to the Lord. This is Luke 6:38. If you look at Matthew 6:1-4, Matthew 6:19-21, it says we should give our alms in secret. In secret. Give. And Malachi 3:10 says that we should tithe. Brothers and sisters, I'm saying this to all of you. And all of you, I know all of you are, you know, or most of us in here in college, we don't have a lot of funds, right? But when you get something from the Lord, if it's $10 right away, you should say $1 is the Lord's. $1 is the Lord's. Immediately. We have to practice this ourselves. And we have to put this into the ones we're caring for. Because you cannot experience Christ in fullness if you don't send your treasures to the heavenly bank account. You see? And we should at least tithe. At least tithe. And when we talk about this, if we brothers talk about this, we're not talking about something we don't practice. We practice this. We should tithe. And then you'll see as you grow older, if you practice tithing, and I say whatever you get, $20 is $2. Am I right? $30 is, my goodness, we give people tips. Can you imagine? I mean, can't you give God 10%? And you're giving people asking for tips now for everything. I went to get a newspaper the other day, New York Times, and the guy wanted a tip just to buy a newspaper. I was like, what is this, you know? The barber wants a tip, the newspaper guy wants a tip, and this person wants a tip, and we won't give something to God? We won't give something to God? That's shameful, you know? But we should give in secret. Give in secret. And we practice this in the church life. I love this. You know, when I was in denominations, I remember the plate would be passed around, you know? And you could, you know, of course, I was real naughty when I was a young boy. I wasn't regenerated. I was going to this denomination. And, you know, they put the money in the plate, and I'd go, whoa, you know, pass the plate. You know what I mean? Or you go, oh, man, that's not so good, you know, or whatever, you know. But we don't do that. We give in secret. We give in secret. Anyway, it's just a real treasure in the church life to do this. Okay, now number 9. I have here is Romans 11:36. Saints, what this verse says, it says, out of him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. You know, amen. Something like this, right? So it says, out of him. Saints, we should pray over this verse and we should say, Lord, I want to do everything out of you. I want you to be my source. I want to serve out of you. I want to live out of you. I want everything to come out of you. And I want everything I do, my living and my serving, to be through you. That means not only is the Lord the source, that means He's the means. He's our energy. He's our strength. He's our life. He's our person. He's our everything. If you study for a test, you should say, Lord, I like to study out of you. I like you to be my source. I like you to be my energy. I like you to be my person, my life, and my everything. And everything we do is to him for his glory. That means his expression. Glory is his expression. So we want him to be expressed in everything. So out of him, through him, and to him are all things. To him be the glory. Amen. Then Matt, does it say forever and ever? Oh, forever, amen. Forever, amen. To him be the glory forever, amen. So, we want everything to be for his glory. We aren't here to express ourselves. We're here so that God can be expressed through us. All right, the 10th point I have here is John 12, 24 through 26. And what this means is that to grow as a seed, the Lord said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. You see, this is a seed. If you have a seed, if that seed doesn't fall into the ground and die, it will abide alone. But if it dies, it will come up in resurrection and bear much fruit. And bear much fruit. And then the Lord tells us in verse 25, He tells us to lose our soul life. We should follow Him, and we need to lose our soul life. And then, in the next verse, verse 26, He says, wherever I am, there will my servant be. And if we follow Him, He will honor us. Well, where is He? He's in the ground. He's underground. So we need to follow Him. We don't follow Him this way. We follow Him this way. And we follow Him into the ground, and we die to ourselves. We exercise our spirit. Okay, listen to this, saints. We should always exercise our spirit to reject ourselves and live by another life. Live by the Spirit. Reject yourself. Lose your soul life. What does it mean to lose your soul life? It means to lose the enjoyment of this world. Well, you might say, well, Brother Ed, my goodness, lose the enjoyment of the world. Then what's going to happen? What kind of joy am I going to have? Well, our soul was made to enjoy God. Our soul, our mind, will, and emotion was created to enjoy God, for God to be our entertainment, for God to be our enjoyment. Our soul was created for us to express God through our mind, will, and emotion. So, saints, nothing is higher than enjoying God. Am I right? Am I right? What is higher than that? Enjoying God and expressing God. So we do this. We lose our soul life. We enjoy God. We express God. We reject ourselves. We live by another life. We fall into the ground to die. And then something comes up in resurrection, and that is much fruit. Much fruit. Okay, now, Matt, we're on number 11, right? Okay, number 11. Revelation 2:7. And we need to have this in us. This in us. It says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Saints, we need to have an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Do you have an ear to hear? You know, when I first came in the recovery, I remember this brother was sitting across from me. I wasn't in the church life. And he was sitting across from me. We were in a home at a table. He was sitting across from me, and he was sharing. And I tell you, he was sharing. And to this day, if you ask me, I could give a message on what he shared with me right now. Right now. If you said, Ed, stop your message. Tell us what he shared. I could give a whole message on what he shared. He shared something with me that changed my life. And indescribable, you know. By the Lord's mercy, and I say this, I really mean this, we pray, Lord, have mercy on me. Give me an ear to hear. You know, the Lord always said this. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. He said this. He cried this out. Some people listened to him. A lot of people were listening to him, but most people didn't hear him. Really hear him. You follow what I mean? You really hear his word. You take in his word. And it becomes a part of you. And I remember there was some people sitting on, you know, maybe two or three people, actually three or four people, sitting there listening. And I remember they were nodding their heads. They were going, yeah, yeah, yeah. But I realized they did not hear what he was saying. And what the Lord was saying through that dear brother. Yeah, Matt, you know who this brother is. Anyway, I just treasure this brother so much. And so, when he left, I said, man, wherever that brother is, I want to be. I never saw anybody so full of the Word like that, you know. Anyway, so I began to come to the meetings and oh, Lord Jesus, then happily ever after, right? You're in the Lord's recovery. Just wonderful. Just wonderful. Have an ear to hear. You see, now, in 2 Corinthians 2:17, Paul said, we are not like the many. We don't adulterate the Word of God. We don't water it down. We don't mix it with impure things. We don't peddle the Word of God for profit. That's a shame to be a... This happened in Paul's day. You know, we know this happens today, right? People speak the Word of God for their own personal profit. But that happened in Paul's day. He said, we don't peddle the Word of God. We don't adulterate the Word of God. We don't bring down the Word of God, you know, to make it easy to take. Like, you know, like Wonder Bread. You know, Wonder Bread is... They still have Wonder Bread, right? You know, Wonder Bread is full of nutrition. Thank you. Wonder Bread is actually not Wonder Bread. It doesn't have hardly any nutritional value. But if you get unleavened bread, right, that has a lot of nutritional value. Christ is the unleavened bread. You see, he has no mixture. He's absolutely pure. He's without mixture. He's full of reality. So, Paul said, as out of sincerity, as out of God, we speak in Christ. And then in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 3, He says, since you seek a proof of the Christ who is speaking in me, who is not weak unto you, but who is powerful in you. So, in 2 Corinthians 2:17, in 2 Corinthians 2:17, he says, we speak in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 13:3, he says, Christ speaks in me. We speak in Christ. I speak in Christ. Christ speaks in me. That is incorporation in service. Every time we speak, brothers and sisters, we need to pray, Lord, I like to speak in you, and I want you to speak in me. But what I want to emphasize here, brothers and sisters, is be in the meetings. Come to the meetings where you can hear the speaking of God. Where you can, you know, you come to a church meeting, all the saints are prophesying, Christ is speaking in them, they are speaking in Christ. And we need to pray, Lord, give me an ear to hear what you're speaking to the churches. That makes us an overcomer. Okay, number 12, 12 point is this. We need to eat Jesus.
Amen.
Eat him. Now, this is for those of you who are new, you might say, oh my goodness, what is this? And I was the same as you were, you know, when I heard this. You know, when I met the saints, I thought, man, these people are wonderful. They just love the Lord. All they talk about is the Lord. They know the Bible. I couldn't believe how the brothers and sisters knew the Bible. It just blew me away. I was reading the book of Ezekiel at when I first came into church life. I was reading the book of Ezekiel. And I said, surely they won't know anything about Ezekiel. No way. Not the wheel within the wheel and the eyes on the rim of the wheel and the four living creatures and, you know, going like a lightning bolt. And, you know, it's like, you know, that first chapter, you just think it's like you're in science fiction if you don't have the, if you don't have the word, the ministry to open it up. Well, I asked this brother, surely you don't have anything on Ezekiel, do you? He goes, oh yeah, Ed, wait a second. And he brings me his notes from the book, Visions of Ezekiel. And so I start reading it, and I almost fell out of my chair. I just couldn't, wow, this is awesome. I won't get into what all the significance, you know. But the four living creatures, you know, God's move with a wheel. Just awesome. So I realized these people love the Lord. I never heard people say, Lord Jesus, I love you. How about we say that right now? Lord Jesus, I love you. I just feel these are the Lord Jesus, I love you people. You know, and so I just really treasure the brothers and sisters. But then when we began to sing a hymn, somebody called a hymn, and this hymn, you know, we have hymns in our hymnal on eating Jesus. You know, God is good for food. Yes, God is good for food. Yes, God is good for food. God is good for food. And then I just had a lump in my throat when I sang it. God is good for food. Ooh, you know, I was like, uh-oh. I said, you know, it was hard. I was like, wow. But that's in the Bible. It's Genesis 2:9. If you look at Genesis 2:9, it says the tree of life, good for food. Good for food. Christ says the tree of life is good for food. He wants to be our food. And in John 6:35, he said, I am the bread of life. In John 6:57, he says, he who studies me,
no.
He who thinks about me,
no.
He who eats me, he who eats me shall live because of me.
Amen.
Shall live because of me. And that means that we take him in as the, what was the word you used again, brother? Sorry. Yeah, we take him in. He's got 100% divine and mystical nutritional value. And we eat him. We take him in. And then he becomes the energizing factor in our being. And we live him spontaneously. So, but to eat him, you know, he wasn't talking about the flesh, his physical flesh. Because in verse 63... he says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So, Brothers and sisters, the way to eat Christ is to eat His words. To eat His words. Every day, eat His word. His word is our spiritual food. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. That's why we need to pray, Lord, speak to me. So this written word that we have, we need to come to Christ as the living word in the written word. And then we need to pray over this word until it becomes the applied word, the spirit to us. You see? And then when He speaks to us, then we take Him in as our spiritual food. We know Jeremiah 15:16. It says, your words were found. I like this. Do we find the Lord's words every day? We need to make discoveries in the Word. You see? Your words were found. Lord, I like to find your words today. Your words were found. And I ate them. And your word became to me, what, what's our version say? The gladness and joy of my heart. Gladness and rejoicing. Is that right? Gladness and rejoicing of my heart. Does the word become the gladness of your heart? Does the word become the rejoicing of your heart? You see, brothers and sisters, I'm so burdened. You know, I want you to enjoy God.
Amen.
To enjoy God. I don't like to see young people walking around like this. You know, I'm looking at some of you guys. You guys are... And I'm like, Lord Jesus. I just want to come out there to some of you and go, enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
Try to exercise your spirit to smile a little bit. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. I mean it. I don't mean fake it. I'm not talking about faking it. You know what cherish means when the Lord cherishes us? He comes in. He fills the meeting with His presence. He cherishes us. There's going to be a lot of cherishing taking place here. His presence is the cherishing factor. And to cherish is to make you happy. You need to pray, Lord, listen, if you're sad, if you're just like, tired and wiped out or whatever, say, Lord, cherish me. Lord, make me happy, Lord. Make me happy. Well, the Lord may say, well, if you want me to be your happiness, you need to confess this. You need to confess this sin. This is a blockage. You need to forgive this person. You see? Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord like He's your best friend. You see? But anyway, let me come back to eating the Lord. That's eating the Lord too. You see, you talk to Him. You take Him in as your food. You enjoy Him as your spiritual food in the Word. Okay. Let me share this verse just to emphasize this point some more. In Deuteronomy 17, and this is verses 18 through 20, these verses, the Lord instructs the children of Israel. They said, when you have a king, what the king is supposed to do, and saints, we will see as we read through this outline, we all need to be kings.
Amen.
We need to be those who are reigning in life, according to Romans 5:17. Reigning in life over Satan, sin, and death. And it says, when you appoint a king, this is what the king has to do. He has to take the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That was their Bible. And he has to write out a copy for himself. Now, I like to ask you, if I gave you an assignment, and I said, I want you to write out Genesis through Deuteronomy. I want you to write it word for word. Write it with your pen. With your pen. Or you can type it. That's okay. Type it on your computer. Just type it. Now, don't you think one word would become life to you if you did that? Do you think you would get something? Just a little bit? Surely you would. Surely you would. Saints, if we're going to get in the Word, there is something to writing things. Writing things. See, I see some of you writing, taking notes. There's something to this. There's something to this. You know, I served with Brother Lee for many years. And He would always write things down. The light that he received, he would write it down. He would take notes of his, what he got from the Word. He showed me his first English Bible. And his first English Bible, he had this in about 1962 or the early 60s. Everywhere there was handwriting. Everywhere from where he took notes. And he said, Ed, he was shepherding me that day. I realized that later. I went over his house. I had first moved to Anaheim. He said, Ed, look at my Bibles. His stacks of Bibles, you know, first Chinese Bible, second Chinese. You know, they were worn out, right? And then it came to the first English Bible. He said, take that out. I looked at it. Oh, there was handwriting everywhere, notes everywhere. He said, read something to me. So I read something to him. He goes, wow, isn't that good? I said, yeah, brotherly, this is really good, really good. I said, can I read something else? He said, yeah, go ahead. So I read to him, and I realized after I read, and then I looked in the back, there were notes in the back, notes everywhere, in beautiful English handwriting. And I realized that all those notes he took in those stacks of Bible are now what we have in our recovery version. You know, the cream of all that study of the Bible is the notes in the recovery version. Saints, if you're going to be a king, there's something to doing this. You see, doing this. And I don't mean you can do this too, right? You guys are high tech, right? You know, I still like to do this, but I do this too. You know, you can type, you can write. Write out, I don't know how to say, I don't have the utterance, but there's something to this. Then it says this, he shall read in it all the days of his life. If you're going to be a proper king, if you're going to reign in life, you have to read the Bible. Does it say every other day of your life? Does it say from conference to conference? It doesn't say that. It says all the days of your life. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Can you imagine? You know, if the kings would have done that, I think 1st and 2nd Kings would have been a lot shorter. Would have been a lot shorter. It would have been, you know, I mean, Josiah was a very good king. You know, he turned to the Lord. It says he turned to the Lord with all his heart, you know, like no king before him. There were a few good kings, but if all the kings had really practiced that, you know, there's so many corrupt kings in 1st and 2nd Kings. There wouldn't have been that kind of corruption. So, you enjoy something in the Word. Write it out. Write down that verse. Take it with you. Pray over it. You see? Pray over it. Get it into you. When you do this, it becomes part of your renewed mind. You see? And you're eating the Word. Okay, number 13. We're on number 13, right? Okay, so we need to eat the Lord and His words. We need to drink Him. Drink Him. Don't think, drink. Amen. Is everybody still with me?
Amen.
I've only got like a few more points to go. So, you know, I think we have time for testimonies. Listen, don't think, drink.
Amen.
Drink. The problem is we think too much. We should be drinking. Now the Lord says in John 7:37-39, He cries out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink.
Amen.
And in John 4, he told that Samaritan woman, he said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who speaks with you, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Saints, the first way to get the living water is to ask him.
Amen.
Just ask him, say, Lord, give me the living water. Do you think the Lord's going to say, no, I don't want to do that? Of course He wants to do that. That's His desire. He wants you to drink Him so that you can be filled with Him, we can be filled with Him together, and we can express Him as the body of Christ. So, if we drink Him, then the promise is that out of our innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Now, there are many ways to drink Him, but I will say, one way, and this is a big thing. You know, in Numbers chapter 20, verse 8, this verse says, You know, remember when the children of Israel, when they were going through the wilderness, and the Lord told Moses to strike the rock with his rod, and water gushed out for all the people to drink. And that rock is a type of Christ. And Christ is a spiritual rock. He was cleft on the cross. Out came blood for our redemption, water for us to drink, the water of life, right? So out of that rock gushed water, the water of life, for all of us to drink. But now that Christ has been cleft on the cross, he doesn't need to be smitten again, right? So Numbers chapter 20 verse 8, the Lord told Moses, speak to the rock. Speak to the rock and waters will come out of the rock. Saints, if we want to enjoy Christ as the living water, we need to talk to Him. Talk to Him. Speak to Him. Saints, I cannot tell you how important it is to talk to the Lord. Something's bothering you, talk to Him. If you're ready to give up, don't say, I give up. Say, Lord Jesus, I give up. Preface it with, Lord Jesus. You see what I mean? Then you're talking to Him, you see? You say, I give up. That's one thing. But if you say, Lord Jesus, I give up. He'll say, I don't give up, Ed. He says, you give up, but I'm not giving up on you. And then I say, well, Lord Jesus, I still feel like giving up. And then He'll say something more to me, right? Then we'll have a long conversation, right? You see my point? Talk to Him. You know, I can still remember one time I was having a difficult time. It was years ago. And I went to a football field. Actually, no one was there. I was just walking around the track talking to the Lord. I said, Lord, I just felt like I was ready to retire from the church life. You know, hang up your jersey from the rafters. Anyway, that's basketball. You know, you're retired, you know. And had a long talk with the Lord. Lord, what about this? What about that, Lord? Lord Jesus. And I remember it was a long conversation. I don't even remember how long it was. It was a long conversation. And a lot of, oh, Lord Jesus's. You know, Lord Jesus, what about this, Lord? Always say, Lord Jesus. If you're tired, say, Lord Jesus, I'm tired. Lord Jesus, be my energy. Talk to Him. Lord Jesus, I have a test. Lord Jesus, I'm anxious. Be my peace, Lord. You see, you talk to Him. So anyway, after this long walk, I still remember the end of the conversation was this. I said this. I said, Lord, you know, there's only one problem. I still love You. And then that was it. I broke through. You know, I was happy in the Lord again. You see, you talk to the Lord. You're in a romance with Him, right? Keep your romance with the Lord. How romantic are you with the Lord? Brothers, how romantic are you with the Lord? You see, all of us, we're the new man. On the one hand, we're the new man. All the sisters are part of the new man. On the other hand, all of us are the wife of Christ, right? We're the bride of Christ. So we need to be romantic with the Lord. Now, it's silly if you're in a romance with someone and you marry someone, you never talk to them. You never talk to them. Just think of my wife, you know. We were together this morning. Just think if she didn't talk to me at all this morning. She didn't say a word to me. She just... I would just, what's wrong? What's wrong? The Lord wants us to talk to Him. You see the point? But many times we don't talk to Him. We don't talk to Him. Okay, talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Okay, number 14. Number 14, right, Matt? Okay, 14. We need to breathe the Lord. Breathe Him. John 20:22. It says, He breathed into them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Breath, the Holy Pneuma. We need to breathe Him in. And we have a whole hymn on this, hymn 225, where, I'm sorry, 255, by A.B. Simpson, where A.B. Simpson says, Lord, teach me how to breathe You in. Amen. Teach me how to breathe You in. And then he says, breath by breath, I live upon You. Oh, Lord, Your Spirit, breathe in me. Saints, we need to breathe the Lord in. How do we breathe the Lord? Who can tell me how we breathe the Lord? How do we do that?
Oh.
The Lord Jesus. That's right. We call on the Lord. Saints calling on the Lord. Brothers and sisters, call on the Lord. Call on the Lord. I haven't graduated from calling on the Lord. I have to call as soon as I wake up. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. You know, I always say when you wake up, try not to say, oh, no. You know, if you do say, oh, no, the next thing should be, oh, Lord. Right? But say, oh, Lord, as soon as possible. Oh, Lord. We need to, oh, Lord, our way into the kingdom. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, Lord. You look in the Psalms, it's full of, oh, God. Oh, Jehovah. Oh, Lord. We need to call. Call. Mean business when you call. Mean business. Lord, I need you. Oh, Lord. And you can call quietly, right? You say, oh, Lord. Lord Jesus. Call on the Lord. Build up a habit of calling on the Lord. This is the way we breathe the Lord. And saints, also you have 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, which is, these are all big verses. It doesn't say sometimes rejoice, right? It says always rejoice. Unceasingly pray. In everything, give thanks. So we need to have this kind of life, breathing the Lord. Now, number 15. This is the last thing. Number 15. Speak for the Lord. Speak for the Lord. Preach the gospel. Amen. Preach the gospel and prophesy. Preach the gospel. Matthew 24:14. It says we need to preach the gospel of the kingdom to the whole inhabited earth. We need to take the gospel of the Lord's recovery to the whole inhabited earth. In 1 Corinthians 14:4b, it says, he who prophesies builds up the church. So if you're in a church meeting, you're in a group meeting in a home, or you're in a larger church meeting, when you speak for the Lord and you allow the Lord to speak through you, that builds up the church. Amen. That prepares the bride of Christ. That is a great thing. When I sit down, some of you are going to share, and we just pray that the Lord speaks through everyone who shares this weekend. Amen. And when you share, you prophesy, that builds up the church. That is a great, great thing. Preach the gospel. Tell people about Christ, about the church, about the enjoyment of Christ. Preach the gospel. Preach the good news. When you preach the gospel, it makes you different, right? When you preach the gospel, you're just so... it makes you so full of joy. Okay, that's the 15th point. Anyway, I remember the first time I preached the gospel, I didn't even know I was supposed to preach the gospel, but I got saved, you know, I got regenerated. I read a tract, you know. I shared that I read a tract in a laundromat. So while my clothes were getting washed, I got washed in the blood and washed with the Spirit. And then at work, I told one of my colleagues, I said, "Bill, I met Jesus. I met Jesus." He said, "You met who?" I said, "I met Jesus." He just wait a second. You know, what happened? What are you talking about? So I told him what happened, you know, how I got saved and everything. And then it wasn't long after that, I'd say at least within that month, he asked me to come over his place, and we prayed together, and he received the Lord. And I didn't even know. I didn't have the mystery of human life. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know. I said, "Lord, how am I going to do this?" And then we just prayed. He received the Lord. You know. Oh, I tell you, I drove home, I felt like I was in a space car. You know what I mean? I felt like I was in the space shuttle driving home. I just, praise the Lord. There's no greater joy than preaching the gospel. You see, all these things help the seed to grow in us. Okay. Now, let me just read A, B, and C, okay? Then we'll come to the rest of the outline. Okay. A says, in resurrection, Christ is the last Adam in the flesh. He's the threefold seed in humanity. He became, he was transfigured, he was pneumatized into the life-giving Spirit, the Spirit of life, to dispense himself into us. Amen. For the building up of the church as the body of Christ. You see, so all these things I talked to you about are for his dispensing himself into us more and more. Now B, as the seed of the woman, he destroyed God's enemies. Saints, all these points that I share with you, and there's a lot of points, you know, I just picked out some points for our growth in life. He will destroy everything of the enemy in your being.
Amen.
As you allow Him to grow in you. As the seed of Abraham, He became the consummated triune God. As our full blessing, the sevenfold intensified life-giving Spirit. As the seed of David, He causes us to reign in life, share in His kingship, and become His kingdom that fills the whole earth, making the whole earth God's kingdom. Now how about we stand up and read C together?
Amen.
Thus the enemies are gone, the blessing is here, and we are in the kingdom. This is the good news of the revelation of the entire Bible. Okay, very good. Very good. Okay, we've got 10 minutes. If we do 30 seconds, we can have 20 people share.